Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm picking up where I left off last week in a message entitled, They Who Are Sanctified. And this is part two, They Who Are Sanctified. And I'm preaching from Hebrews 10, specifically verse 14, Hebrews 10, 14. I'm not going to go back into all that I said last week, but I urge you, if you didn't hear last week's message, to get the tape, or the CD rather. You can tell I'm giving away my age when I say get the tape. But you can listen to it on our website. You can download it, or you can just listen to it, or find another way to listen to it from things like Sermon Audio or YouTube. We have them out there, but you can watch this. This is part two of They Who Are Sanctified, and it comes from this verse, Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, the offering of Christ, he hath perfected, finished, completed, he did a perfect work forever them that are sanctified. And I explained last week how that word sanctified, sometimes translated holy, it means set apart. Set apart. Sanctification, sanctified, is a big term. It's a wide term. As I explained last week, justification is the legal ground of our salvation, the salvation of God's people, wherein Christ accomplished the work, the perfection here, by his death on the cross, his obedience unto death, to put away the sins of his people, to pay their sin debt, and established a perfect righteousness whereby God could be just to justify sinners in mercy and grace and love. Now, the Bible speaks of God's love being shown, manifested in a propitiation accomplished by Jesus Christ. And that propitiation is a word that means a sin-bearing sacrifice who satisfies justice and brings forth everlasting righteousness. And it's the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, Romans 1:16-17, which is the merit, the value, the quality and power of Christ's obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer, and the keeper of his people. And so we're justified before God based upon his righteousness imputed, charged, accounted. If you haven't heard that before, the doctrine of imputation, the sins of God's people were imputed to Christ so that God charged him with their sin debt. Who shall lay anything to their charge? Nobody. God justified him, Romans 8:34. And his righteousness is charged to their account. That's a legal matter. Now, sanctification is a wider term. There are legal aspects of sanctification. There are eternal aspects of sanctification. There are spiritual aspects of sanctification. And that's what I want to go into a little bit today. Sanctified. Those who are sanctified. Now, one of the terms in the Bible that comes from the word sanctify or sanctification is the word saint, saints. Now, what is a saint according to God's word? Well, many people think a saint is some kind of a super Christian who, as the false Catholic Church says, they perform so many miracles and they're dedicated and they get appointed by the Pope and instituted in, and they call them now saint this, saint that. Well, let me tell you what a saint is in the Bible. A saint is any and every sinner saved by the grace of God. That's what a saint is. And the reason, what is a saint? A saint is a sanctified person. And a sanctified person is one who has been set apart by God. Now, how are they set apart? And that's what I want to deal with today. And in this, you know, in salvation, we see the work of the triune Godhead working consistently together to save sinners by the grace of God. Now, I know the Trinity is a mind-boggling doctrine. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how to explain it. I know there are a lot of people who try to use illustrations, earthly illustrations, but I caution you against that. There is no proper earthly illustration that can truly explain the Trinity. Now, the Trinity is not three gods. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're not three different gods. But they are one God. He is one God in three persons. And again, I don't know how to explain that, and I'm not even going to try. But I believe that denying it is denying biblical truth and even unto the gospel. I know there are people who say, well, we believe in Jesus only. Well, we believe that Jesus is the only Savior. He's God, the second person of the Trinity. God manifest in the flesh. But don't get bogged down with debating over that issue. It's what the Bible says. God the Father represents the sovereignty, the judge of the Trinity. God the Son is the mediator between God and men. And he became obedient, the scripture says in Philippians 2, obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. He submitted himself to the Father for the purposes of redemption. And then God the Holy Spirit is the applicator, you might say, the power of God unto salvation in the sense of applying the benefits of the Father's purpose and decree, the Son's work on the cross, to each and every one of God's people. And so, in the Bible, we see how sanctification is attributed to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, let me give you these scriptures. Look at the book of Jude, right before Revelation. Jude, the first verse in the book of Jude. Listen to how it starts out. Jude identifies himself. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Sanctified by God the Father. Now, how are God's people sanctified by the Father? Well, the Bible teaches us in so many verses, but I think of first, for example, Ephesians chapter 1, where it says that God, before the foundation of the world, chose a people. He set them apart to save and gave them to Christ. Put all the responsibility of their entire salvation upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were given to Him. They were made His responsibility. Their salvation and the government of salvation was placed upon Christ's shoulders by the Father. Now, God did not choose every person without exception. The Bible tells us that. And I know that's offensive to people. And the reason it's offensive, I know, because of pride. That's why it was offensive to me when I first heard it. But God did not choose everybody without exception. God's not trying to save everybody without exception. God does not love everybody without exception. I'm sorry. Read your Bible. God hateth the work of iniquity, the workers of iniquity, Psalm 5 tells us. God hated Esau. And I know these false preachers, you know, they try to say, well, that means God loved them less. No, God's love is not in degrees. God's love is not responsive. It's not a reaction. The Bible says that God loved Jacob and hated Esau before they did any good works. God didn't look down through a telescope of time and foresee what you would do or how you would respond. That's not in the Bible. That's a concoction of human, false, self-righteous religion. It's not in the Bible. But God did choose a people, and He set them apart. He sanctified them in divine electing grace. And that's what Jude's talking about. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:34, I quote it all the time on this program, that who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Those whom God the Father set apart in divine electing grace and gave to Christ, they're sinners. They deserve death and hell. They've earned death and hell. But they will not receive death and hell because God chose them and gave them to Christ. He set them apart. They cannot be charged with their sins. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That's what David cried. Psalm 32. Paul quoted that, or he expounded upon it in Romans 4, verse 6, when he described the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. And you say, well, that's not fair. God shouldn't do that. That's not just. That's not right for God to do that. Well, here's what I want to tell you now. If that's what you're saying, if that's your answer to these truths in the Bible, and they are in the Bible, read Romans 9. Because there's what God says to you. I know because I used to be right with you on that. When I heard these truths, I said, oh, that's not fair. God's not going to be like that. He loves everybody. He's trying to save everybody. And when I read the Bible, I found out differently. God is a gracious God. God is a loving God. And I know how people think. I know how I used to think. Somebody says, well, then it doesn't matter what I do. If I'm not one of God's elect, if I'm not one that He set apart before the foundation of the world, it doesn't matter what I do. I don't have to seek the Lord or read my Bible or try to believe in Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. When you say things like that, I want you to realize what you're doing. You're trying to play God. Only God knows whom He set apart before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ. And the only way we know anything about ourselves as far as a relationship with God is as we are brought by the power of God to seek the Lord and believe in Him according to His Word. Right here. And so I would ask you, Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He made this statement. He said, I know your election of God. Well, Paul, how do you know that? Were you standing there with God before the world began? And He set us apart? No, Paul wasn't there. But how did he know that? He said, because the Word, the Gospel, came to you not just in word, but in power. And you know what that power was? It was the power of the Holy Spirit to bring them to faith in Christ. Here's what you need to be concerned with. You need to be concerned with you're a sinner who deserves nothing but death and hell. And the only way out of this mess is the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood, His righteousness alone. You're commanded by God to believe on Him. At the end of Romans chapter 9, where Paul answers those objections about people saying, well, God's not fair, God's not just, He should have chosen everybody. Well, Paul's answer is this. He said, God's not unfair and unjust. God is sovereign. He does what He wills. And he said, what are we going to say to these things? How are we going to respond to these things? We better cast ourselves on our face and beg for mercy from God. That's what we were to do. Be like that old publican in Luke 18. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what we're to do. And if God brings you or me or any of us to do that, then we've been set apart before the foundation of the world, the Scripture says. A salvation that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, Paul told Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. But that's sanctified by God the Father. That's an eternal way. The second verse that I want you to look at is in 1 Corinthians. And it's 1 Corinthians 1:1, which is sanctification by the Son. So we talk about sanctified by the Father, set apart by the Father in eternal electing grace in Christ. Now sanctified by the Son in redeeming grace. And look at what Paul says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, verse 2 now, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now he says, sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart in Christ Jesus. And he follows that up with called to be saints. Now that's talking about the third one I'm going to, the Holy Spirit, but hold off on that. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now that's really what Hebrews 10 and verse 14 is talking about. For by one offering, he, Christ, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Set apart in Christ. Well, we were set apart in Christ eternally when God chose us and gave us to Christ. United his people, his elect, his sheep, his brethren to him. Placing all of the responsibility of their salvation on Christ. You see, everything that Ephesians 1 says about God's eternal electing grace before the foundation of the world, it's all in Christ, by Christ, for Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation, the heart, the head of the church. And before the foundation of the world, God chose the people and gave them to Christ. He not only elected them, set them apart and elect. He set them apart, elected them in Christ. And so all of their sins, which had not even been committed yet, the fall had not even happened yet, the scripture says. All of their sin that was laid upon Christ, imputed to him. And he agreed to be their substitute, their surety, substitute, and redeemer. And then in time, in the fullness, Galatians 4:4 says this, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. In time, Christ came and was made of a woman. That's his sinless humanity, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin without the aid of man. The miraculous birth, the conception, and the incarnation, the union of his deity with sinless human flesh. The Word made flesh dwelt among us. God manifest in the flesh, and he became flesh, and he was made under the law. That is, he became accountable and responsible to keep the law unto death and die for the sins of his people, to redeem them. In the fullness of the time, made of a woman, made of the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And so that's being set apart in redemption. Sanctified in redemption. So that God's people being legally and eternally united to Christ, he died for them. He was buried for them. He arose again for them. He ascended for them. And that's what he says here. Look back at Hebrews 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, literally once. And I explained that for all is not in the original language. If you insist upon keeping it there, it's once for all time. It could be once for all of his sheep. But that's who he's talking about. And over in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, we have a great, beautiful explanation of that in the speaking of the death of Christ. It takes, in Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Look at Hebrews 2 and verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now, who are the children there? God's children, God's elect. Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil's power of death was not his power to kill anybody or make anybody alive. Only God can do that. But the power of death, the devil was the accuser of the brethren. And he says in verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham, there is spiritual seed, spiritual Israel. But look at verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him. Now that word behooved is the great Greek word for debt. He had a debt that he was obligated to pay. Now what was that debt? It was the sin debt of his people imputed, charged, accounted to him. So it behooved him to be made like unto who? His brethren. Now who were Christ's brethren? You remember he said that over in Mark chapter 12. He said, my brethren are those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven. That is to believe on him. And so his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's being sanctified in Christ. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. When he died on the cross, he died not for himself, he died for his sheep. They were set apart, given to him before the foundation of the world, and they were set apart in redemption because that's the ones he died for. Who did Christ die for? He didn't die for everybody without exception. He died for they who are sanctified. That's what it says here. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And who are they? They're his children. They're his sheep. They're his church. They're the elect of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And that brings us to the third aspect of sanctification as applied to the Trinity, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, understand what I'm saying. How do I know? How can I know that God sanctified me, set me apart before the foundation of the world? I can't know that by nature, because these things have not even entered into the minds of men. I can say that he did, but that's just pride if I don't have any sound basis for saying it. How do I know that Christ died for my sins on that cross and that he was buried and arose again the third day for my because of my justification? Well, that's where set apart, sanctified, made holy by the Holy Spirit comes in. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, he calls them elect according to the foreknowledge. That word foreknowledge is just not knowing beforehand. In the Greek, it means foreordination. It's similar to predestination. So they're elect according to the foreordination of God the Father. Now look at the next line. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. It is only by the sanctifying work, the work of the Holy Spirit, setting a person apart in the new birth under the preaching of the gospel, believing and giving them faith to believe it and receive Christ, that we can know that we were set apart before the foundation of the world and set apart by the Father and set apart in Christ on the cross when he died for us. I'll give you another verse here that I'm going to capitalize on these verses in other messages as we go along, studying the truth of sanctification. But this is 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Paul writes here, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, those whom God loves, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That's set apart by God the Father in election. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, being set apart by the Spirit, and belief of the truth, verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God's chosen people who were set apart before the foundation of the world, who were redeemed by the blood of Christ, that they will all be brought under the preaching of the gospel, and by the power of the Spirit, they will be set apart in the new birth. They will be given spiritual life from the dead, a new heart, the Bible says, a new life, it says, risen from the dead. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses sin. He quickens us by the word of life and the power of the Spirit, that they will be given a new life, a new heart. They will be given faith to believe. Faith does not come to us naturally, folks. Faith is not some spark of goodness within us that we exercise when a silver-tongued preacher persuades us. By nature, if left to ourselves, we will never come to Christ. We will never receive Him. We will never believe in Him. It takes a sovereign act, a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to Christ in the power of God. And when He does, we believe in Christ, we rest in Him, we turn from our dead works and our idolatry, and we follow Him, and that's being sanctified by the Spirit. That's being set apart by the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in sanctification to set us apart. We believe in Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.